Good. Okay. Hi. And welcome to Bye Bye Bye. I'm Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
And we're varying states of tired and post sick, as per usual. I mean, we had like a migraine. It's a migraine hot potato.
Is that, was that your it's phrase? Really weird.
It's like a computer virus, but painful.
It's like how some women sync up their periods, but somehow we sync up our migraines.
We don't sync them. We don't sync them up exactly. We pass them
it's
on.
It's like a wave. We do the wave. Yeah.
Well, you've got to account for time zones.
Yeah, true. But that would mean that I should be the one getting them first.
Yeah, and it's almost
no
like it's
because
you,
the way we do it is you're 4 hours behind me. That's how we.
Okay.
Yeah. We just forget the day. Shut up, it makes sense.
That makes sense.
We're speculative fiction writers. We can do what we want.
We've done a lot of I've been listening and editing to old the last couple of episodes, and man, we talk about food a lot. I was just like, we're not actually an advice podcast or a podcast about games.
Yeah,
or
we're
a podcast.
We're a talk show and the theme is food.
the theme is Taco Bell.
I was like, we don't have any food questions today. And then I looked, and the first question is food questions. So.
I like to think.
If we didn't have a food question, we would turn it into a food question.
Oh, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh. Definitely. Mm. Our topic today is is that what we're doing? We're fighting.
Hey, did we do that on yesterday?
Wait,
yeah, I thought that was last time.
Shoot, this is what happens when you prep too many notes at once. No, our real topic is we haven't been to space lately.
We haven't been to space lately.
We haven't
and
been
that's
to space
bisexual
lately.
Culture.
Yeah,
we should need to get back into that. We need to go back to space, back to our roots.
Yep. Exactly,
it's because opportunity died and bummed us out.
Yeah, we got sad. Yeah, we didn't talk. I mean, we didn't talk about space when opportunity died. We talked about robots, which
we had a moment of silence though.
So. Yeah, which counts.
We did.
Yeah,
it does.
Uh-huh. Opportunity Absolutely. Would want us to forge ahead.
She would. She would definitely want us to forge ahead. I definitely want to go to space. I've been listening to, as you guys know, I've been listening to horror podcasts. I don't know why I've just gone down the horror. Like something happened, something switched on in me, and I've become a horror person instead of everything else.
I don't know. I think you need to ride the train.
I'm enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it. I'm not having nightmares or anything like that. So it's obviously something's. I've hit 42, and suddenly I'm not frightened anymore. I haven't tried to watch any horror yet, though. So, but one of the stories I was listening to was about someone going up into space and then getting isolated and alone up there, and I'm like. Yeah, that would be pretty fucking terrifying, really.
Yeah.
If you're stuck up there by yourself. So, I don't know. Maybe I don't want to go to space.
So much can go wrong, but I think astronauts, by like definition, are adrenaline junkies.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the problem, isn't it? Because if you've got adrenaline junkie, if you're going to go out in spacewalks and stuff like that, then you're going to get a lot of adrenaline. But if you're just sitting there doing nothing...
Yeah.
then it's pretty
well, you know,
boring.
Then you're like, oops, does something need to be tightened up out there? Gotta just go out for a little quick spacewalk, guys.
I think the thrill there is knowing you're fucked. Like, I mean, I don't have, like, any space experience for comparison, but I know when I'm calling a show and I'm in the booth...
And if something goes wrong.
And something goes
wrong.
It's all
on you.
It's all on me, but I can't do a fucking thing about it.
Yeah, that's pretty terrifying.
I can call the queue, but that curtain ain't going anywhere.
The only time I ever did, I did lighting for one of my shows when I was directing, and because I was lazy and hated working with people. Really good idea for me to become, like, to try and put a really good idea to try and put on a show, right? A play where, you know, you have to direct actors and have constant contact with people, like, every night for 5 weeks or however long it takes to get together. Yeah, a good move for someone who hates being around people. Oh, I don't know.
I think theater,
my entire life would change.
I think theater does have jobs appropriate to people who don't like being around other people. Like,
like set building and stuff, but you still have to do it with people, don't you? Set building and costume design, maybe. But again, you have to measure people and talk to them.
And it's very limited. And then you show up to the production meeting, you chat for a few minutes, you do your part, and then you ignore everybody for the rest of it, and you're all good.
Mm. Well, that sounds good.
No, if Rick's out there listening, that is not what I really think. Okay, anyway. Oh, we do have some questions. Our first one is, what are your favorite tropes, your top three? I'm going to let you guys go first because mine are just like unpredictable and vague and nobody knows. So,
and possibly depressing and horrible as well.
What? No. No. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Imogen, go first then, because I gotta think.
You gotta think.
Yeah.
And I didn't. Well, okay.
I didn't pull up TV tropes to look because they're bugging me to make an account now. So.
That's not fair. You only want to go in there when you're trying to get fodder for your stories.
Yeah, exactly.
I am a massive, like, it's funny because I don't write what I like to read. Except in certain circumstances, but I'm a big fan of unrequited pining or mutually mutually, what's that word? Mutual pining, where neither person knows that the other person's in love with them. I love that. It's great fun.
Life?
Sorry?
Life? Is that the word?
Yeah, it's great. It's funny because, it's weird that I enjoy reading that considering I spent my entire romantic life before I was about 17 pining after people who didn't want me. So, like, why do I enjoy reading it in others? I don't know. Reliving my youth somehow, possibly. Although they didn't like me back, whereas I do.
It's cathartic. It. You get it out.
Yeah, probably. What other tropes would I be into? Oh, I feel like I need to look at TV tropes because I always pull a blank when I'm trying to think of tropes.
And
if I pull
TV tropes, though, I'm just gonna get lost in TV tropes.
Exactly, and we'll never see her again.
Better than the Anders tag, though. I love a good enemies to lovers. That's good fun too. Moving through, or just you know, mildly disgruntled with each other and not really liking each other much. Like, not necessarily enemies, but, you know, disliking each other at the beginning.
Uh-huh.
The Raven cycle, Claire.
Yeah, yeah.
That the relationship between Gansey and Blue is, I love that, how she hates him to start with, and then, you know, a book later, she's madly in love with him.
Yeah.
that's cool. That's another one I like. I've got to think of one more trope that I like. I'm trying to think of my favorite relationships in fiction.
I'm trying to think because I feel like I've got a good handle on what you like and on your patterns. I'm trying to think of anything other than furries.
I like doomed.
Are there furry tropes? Like, I was
waiting.
Animals to lovers.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm just going to tick that off the list. We've done the furry joke today.
We'll just keep on trucking, right?
Fuck you. It's pile on Imogen today. I like doomed ships as well. Brandon knows this one. The one where they're in love and everything's going to end horribly.
Mutually assured horribly, destruction. Horribly. That's what I would call it.
It's always great. Yeah. And I really love people being mean to each other as well. Fucked up stuff. Totally dysfunctional relationships. And
she says, and then when I write fan fiction, she's like, I can't read that because everybody's just being awful and I can't take it. And then like 3 years later, she's like, hey, I finally read that.
Yes. I have grown as a person. In horrible ways. Do you? I think I've done mine. So I think it was mutual pining, face to lovers, and yeah.
Just to balance that out, mine are all really sappy. I love friends to lovers. I love a good. Let's see.
I for one am shocked.
Oh god, I had them when you were talking and now it was all like opposite shit.
Wait, what's that one trope, in love with the abomination?
<What's> that one? Yeah, I feel like I'm obligated to, or at least some variation on that, like in love with monster or, you know,
yeah,
some shit like that.
Yeah,
I'm just preemptively getting my digs in because I know they're coming from you in a little bit. So with my powers of foresight and notes.
And... oh god.
But I'll give you some thinking music when.
Yeah. Put the Jeopardy. I like. Oh, I know what I like. I love stupid ass, cheesy, like any sort of ship trope where it's like, oh, there's only one bed, or oh. Yeah.
The really predictable.
Oh my god,
that
were roommates!
Exactly. Love that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that shit too. It's just that it doesn't satisfy the deep, howling, monstrous need in my belly for people to be miserable.
Yeah. I mean, I always want people to be happy. Like, I'm like, I like the people who start out miserable and then end up happy.
I am actually getting a real tingle from people with powers, actually, like dangerous people. Like, one person is dangerous and the other person isn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like a bit like Lucy and Anders, but yeah. I like that. It's fun.
They've got all sorts of, they tick all your boxes.
Yeah, they're doomed, they're miserable, they're angsty.
And they're pretty.
They sometimes have to share a bed, so it's cool.
And bread.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, Brandon, it's time for us to roast you on this one.
Okay. Let's see. What do I like? I don't love it personally, but I love writing adultery. Especially.
Yes. These are all not in our real lives. Images kind of doomed.
Yeah, I haven't got a cat birthday. I haven't got a cat boyfriend.
Well, I wasn't going to tell, cat boyfriend. But if you want to out yourself, weird flex, I guess. yeah, I like a good adultery story, especially if like the adulterer is some really unhappy female character caught in a bad relationship not of her choosing.
I'm,
you know, like,
shocked.
I don't know, just off the top of my head, like a queen in a political marriage. I don't know, just tossing that out there. I think my favorite one though is, I don't know what you would call it other than Are They or Aren't They?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you just, there's two people and you just don't know. And the text doesn't give you anything to distinguish it. And they don't give you anything to distinguish it. And they don't dispute it. They don't confirm it or anything. You know, it's just how it goes.
That sounds very Hawkester. Everyone's like, are they? Yeah, they so are.
Where you just can't tell. And that, like, that was my whole draw into the Clint and Natasha relationship in all of superhero-dom ever. And let's see, a third one. I need a third one. I don't know. I had a third one. Where did it go?
I know. I had all three of mine, and then when it came to me, they all went down.
The first two are easy. Everybody knows those. Yeah. There's nobody listening to this podcast that's like, oh, really? That's what Brandon likes? I don't know. I think maybe I like a good. I don't know.
I mean, if it's, I think that's actually valid though.
You like flipped tropes, like
oh, that's what I was.
The whole,
yes,
like female knight and prince,
yes,
and stuff like that.
That was actually one that I thought of. I was like, I like the warrior and glass cannon pairings, but I like them flipped. I like yeah, the female to be the warrior, you know, or at least one female to be the warrior. So,
yeah. That's fun. That's a good fun trip, actually. Man, I need to go. I need to spend a couple of days on TV Tropes at some point and just mine it.
Use them all. They will ask you to make an account now.
My hair is being weird too. Like I'm still not used to it being so short. So I've put my headphones on and it keeps flopping down in front of my face.
Oh, it's very cute. I like it like that.
Yeah, I think I finally accepted that I was never going to be, you know, a long-haired beauty, elegant beauty.
With your hair blowing in the breeze.
I can't speak to elegant beauty, but yesterday I was brushing my hair and I was like, what just touched my butt? And then I was like, shit, it's my hair. I need to cut that shit. It's not even on purpose. I just have been too goddamn lazy to get it cut.
Once you hit a certain length, it's easy to just let it go, you know?
I mean, but now it's gotten to the length where it's getting hard to let it keep going because it's, like, hard to brush all the way down and hard to wash
all that. Yeah. Oh. Oh, excuse me. I'm going to belch. Hold on. No, it's caught. Okay. There it goes. Okay. All right.
I was gonna do that in an after credit scene. You realize that if it came out well,
I can give you one on command if you want.
No, don't. It has to be natural. It cannot be forced.
Has to be natural. Bonus points if it just pops out while you're speaking.
It's funny. I also love. There was another great book by Leah Bardugo. I think The Six of Crows. Duology. I think there's only one book, but there's a relationship in that hits all my buttons, and it's a dude who is phobic about touch, so he can't be touched, and I don't know why I love that so much. It's just that, like, because he wants to, but he can't because he's phobic about it. So there's this constant struggle between him and the girl who is in love with him, and he's in love with her as well. About
well,
whether
it's
or
good
not
our Fenris has been
it.
Gone for a while then.
I didn't think about that one.
Yeah, you had a whole thread about it.
Maybe it's because you don't like to be touched.
Yeah, that could probably be it. Maybe I'm trying to find ways to get away from it. Look, we can still be intimate.
I saw something today. Someone said that scientists say you need 13 hugs a day for good health. Now, I want to say that is up 12 whole. That is up one whole hug from the 12 I was quoted when I was in youth group as a kid, but I can think of a few people that would just not be good.
I get more than that every day anyway, because the kids are very, like, it's just nothing. I think one of the reasons why I'm a bit averse to touching is just because for 10 years now I've had
kids.
an attachment
all the time.
Yeah, and I mean that's cool. It's all it's part and parcel of being a parent, but it's just not something that you just don't have any control over when you're a parent.
Yeah.
So,
my parents weren't especially touchy feely, and I wasn't either. And like, I can literally remember the first time I actually remember my dad hugging me. I'm sure there was some time earlier than that, but it was I was like 11 or something, and I was leaving on my first plane trip alone. And
I do remember.
Like, I'm still weird about getting hugged. Like, I've gotten used to forcing it because a lot of my friends are goodbye hug people and stuff. But other than Travis, I'm weird about it. Outside of a romantic context, I'm like,
I do remember.
Yeah, my mom never hugged.
At some point, we had to talk to Baby Bye about touching. I mean, you should talk to all kids about touching. But she would touch my face all the time. Like, she would just walk up to me and just put her hand on my face or stroke my face or something. And I just can't stand having my face touched. Just don't touch my face. And so she was probably like 6, I think, when we had to have that talk with her. And I mean, so if you can talk to your children and reinforce those boundaries, and it's probably even good for them.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah. I mean, especially the last couple of years, it's been less of a problem, but yeah, when they were littler, it's just not something you can do anything about. Yeah, and my husband loves to hug once he's come out of the shower, and he's damp.
Oh God!
And I'm like, fuck! And he always makes fun of me for it. I'm like, but you're damp. Don't hug me. I'm dry. I don't want to be hugged by a wet person. And he still does it. It's an ongoing joke, and it's not like he's forcing it on
right.
me, but it is still pretty funny.
It's just one of those things you know is going to happen. Like, my husband gets a glass of ice water from the refrigerator. I know at some point that's going to touch like the skin on my back.
Back of your neck?
Over the back of my neck. It's just coming. I just know it.
Yeah. Certain little quirks that you live with because you love someone.
Although I do like when my husband first gets out of the shower and he's dried off. But I like the fresh out of the shower smell.
Yeah.
I used to call it clean boy smell, but I have it on good authority that girls smell good when they get out of the shower too.
Oh heck yeah, I smell real good when I get
I'm not. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever sniffed myself when I've come out of the shower.
You can't smell it on yourself.
I can just smell the miasma in the bathroom that I've created.
Yes. If someone were to describe your hashtag aesthetic, what would they say? This comes to us from Closeted in Canada, and I'm like, let's find out!
I'm like, okay, the best way I could think of to find out what my aesthetic is to go through my blog.
Okay, are we talking like our personal like look our general?
I'm gonna say personality. I'm gonna go with a personality. Like, what aesthetic describes your personality? Because I don't think any of us, even with as much time as we've spent together, I don't think any of us can really say, "Oh, this is Claire's aesthetic. It's soft lights and great angles and quirky outer space paraphernalia."
I think you just did Claire's aesthetic perfectly.
Yeah,
recently.
Yeah, but, probably.
I just keep thinking of the little fight emoji for you. Does that work?
Probably.
No, mine's all, let's see, I like skulls and nature, so like tree pictures and animals.
Actually, yeah, that birch tree picture on your Redbubble, I think that's like classically you.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do a Pinterest board. We should each do a Pinterest board and put it up on the Patreon. I think space is part of my, I mean, are we think? Sorry, were we thinking looks like how we dress, or were we thinking?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying.
I think that might be what the question meant, but for the sake of a sound based medium, let's go with like the aesthetic we give out to each other over the internet, like personality wise, like Mary's aesthetic is furries. No, I'm kidding.
I can't remember the limit on how many. I'm going to tell you how many a limit on how many times you're allowed to mention the furry thing.
I feel like the way the sound keeps moving away from the microphone when she does this, I feel like she's getting up and running across the room to like a whiteboard and marking it. That's two today.
She's getting up for a good cuddle with her cat boyfriend. Letting him reassure her.
Oh my god. Anyway, yeah. No, I think
I feel like online I have like a, I don't know, soft disaster bisexual.
I would agree with that. Like, I think online, I think your aesthetic is very, it's very soft. I think it's soft and gentle, and like for the first few years that I knew you, I was like, must protect, like, like no one went after Claire because she was gentle and good and pure and sweet and kind, and then I met her.
Oh yeah, I remember you were like, you're so much louder than I thought she'd be.
And I was so worried of that coming off as an insult because I didn't mean it that way. I just didn't know how else to say it. I was like,
oh no,
always...
like I know how I come off online versus in person.
I remember that. I think the thing that perfectly encapsulates my online aesthetic is that picture of me fighting geese.
Yes,
that I think that encapsulates your entire thing.
I mean, everything about it.
You had the
wearing,
Captain
like,
America.
There you go.
On.
Yeah. I had the Captain America jacket on and I was
geese.
Fighting.
You had your arms up in the air like, what the fuck, guys? Where are you going?
It was very Australian.
Then there was a second one, too, where I was drinking that beer in the pub. What was the beer? It was a
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
The what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. PBR.
The one that proudly boasts it won a Blue Ribbon competition like 100 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good beer.
I like it. I mean, yeah, I whatever. Everybody has that one crappy beer that they really like. Okay, you've got to have a crappy beer that you like that's cheap so that you can fall back on it when it's time. Anyway.
So as far as Brandon's aesthetic is concerned, red lipstick is definitely involved.
Yeah.
There's a lot of red lipstick there.
The little fight emoji, red, like you said, I think.
Yeah. Little fight emoji
with lipstick.
With red lipstick on. Yes, that's it.
Maybe like, I don't know, riding on a shark through space or something.
Yes, I'm like that. Trying to picture the fight me emoji with red lipstick on, and it's amazing.
I know, I am. It's just making me laugh. Oh,
well, that was pretty great. Thanks for that. Ooh,
or if you could take the upside down face smiley face emoji and then stick the little fight me fists on it.
Yes!
Like, I feel like that.
I feel like most of my life can be summed up as an emoji. And
yeah, various emojis.
That's probably my own fault.
I think that's possibly a good thing. I mean, it makes your life easily simplified. And sometimes we need a bit of simplification. That's interesting. As far as aesthetics and what I wear is concerned, I'm always just wearing shorts and a t-shirt. So
yeah, basically. I mean, yeah, I like...
It
I like
depends on
the
time of year.
You get like nice dresses though. You've got some really, really cool dresses.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I love dresses. I just don't wear them very
much. What am I
have to like make an excuse to wear them.
This is going to sound so terrible. One of my favorite things about you is when you get like super dressed up and you're like all busty in this dress and you've got like the big chunky statement necklaces on and stuff and you're just like boobs and good accessories. Like
that's... Sums up how I choose dresses. Don't I show off my boobs?
I mean, somewhere along the line, Claire learned how to play up her assets and like nailed that aesthetic right there.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, there was also a long history of, oops, this button popped off. So I've just got to get things that can accommodate.
Oh, man. The struggle is real. I'm so glad I don't have boobs anymore.
I got in trouble at work for that one time. One of my buttons popped off. And then someone was like, they were like, a customer complained that you like had a lot of cleavage showing. I was like, it was not my fault. I had like a tank top, a shirt, and a cardigan on.
Like, blame the faulty craftsmanship of people who don't wrap their buttons when they sew them on.
And not just that, just the fact that they never, ever, ever make shirts that accommodate people with bigger busts.
Oh, they never do. Like,
accommodate,
you know,
everything.
Media
else,
likes to be like, oh, big busty ladies, but they do not make fucking clothes.
Oh, actually, if you go to a plus size store, I don't know if they do this for other people, but in plus size stores, around the second or third button down, there's an inside button. Huh. Between them that will actually take care of that. It fastens your shirt closed so that it doesn't do the
gap. Yeah, but even then I just need thing. I need considerably more fabric. Where I have to get everything I own tailored because it's like, yeah, it's a good 10
well, that's how
difference, I think, between my waist and boobs.
That's apparently how you're supposed to do it. I mean, because everybody has a tailor on hand.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is.
But everybody's supposed to have a tailor on hand, so you're supposed to buy your clothes big enough for like the biggest part of you and then have the rest of it tailored down. And I mean,
I just don't have time for that. I just get a bunch of low-cut shit and then put stuff I can wear over that.
Yeah.
So for right now, like tank top flannel is my entire fall and winter look.
Funnily, that's Baby Bi's lesbian aesthetic too. When she's like, I'm feeling very lesbian today.
Oh yeah, that's my whole winter cold weather look is just lesbian. Like I'm like jeans, flannel, big heavy boots.
Yes. I love that aesthetic. I'm always into the mountain lesbian aesthetic.
Yeah. And then summer is just as much skin as I can possibly get away with wearing. Short shorts, tank top, flip-flops.
Yeah, we have a definitive lack of seasons here, so I'm pretty much the same thing all the time. T-shirt and shorts.
Yeah, apparently my body has decided it is time for summer, though, because I'm getting really resentful of putting on socks. And as soon as I can not put on socks, I'm so happy.
I forget that people wear socks.
it's a real pain in my ass. Like, I like
so
cold weather, but I like wearing flip-flops.
I never wear socks in summer unless I'm running. And so, yeah, it's pretty weird.
Oh, yeah. There hits a certain time of year where I will stop wearing socks. And then even if it gets cold, I'll still be wearing them. Like, there'll be a sudden, because it's the fucking Midwest. So there'll be a sudden day in, like, May where it will snow or something. And I'm like, nope, still wearing my sandals. Yep.
I was like that growing up too. Like you had to pry my flip flops off my feet in October, you know. And here, I have other shoes. I just don't wear them. In fact, I have to keep socks. I keep my running shoes in the trunk of my car so that they're always there, and yeah. I keep my socks in my shoes. And every now and then, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna take those inside and wash them, and then I realize that if I do, I'm going to forget to bring them back and I won't have socks for running. Anyway.
I've got lots of pairs of... I hate the fact that socks... We're going to talk about socks here. There's a sock conspiracy out there. Because you can never buy... Like, have you noticed this? You can never buy bulk packs of socks where the socks are all the same color. Have you noticed this?
Not unless you're getting, like, plain white ones or plain black.
I've got plain white ones or plain black ones.
Black now or white.
Yeah, but what we like, I usually buy Bonds socks because they're the ones you can buy at the supermarket here. And they have, like, the Bonds athletic socks.
Uh-huh.
And they have, like, a colour on the bottom. They look white
when
they're in the shoe, but the bottom of them is... So, but then they're all different colours. So, I aggressively don't care if I'm wearing... odd socks now, because I've got to the point where I'm like, fuck it, I don't care if my socks are odd, and I'm not going to sort through the washing every single time to make sure that they're all exactly right.
I think that's like a fashion trend right now, because I haven't seen Baby Bi wear matching socks unless they were like purposefully knee socks or something meant to be seen under shorts or a skirt in years.
Okay, well, maybe it's just because, like, maybe she's just like me and doesn't do a washing
properly, even to the point that sometimes she'll wear like an ankle sock and a footy sock on the same day, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? She's like, no one can see it in my boots, Mom.
Oh, that would drive me crazy.
Right,
I could feel
no,
it
they have
I
to be the same it. Yeah, they have to be the same they have to be the same
yeah, they would have to be the same length,
they have to and the same feeling too, the same cushion.
Yeah.
But I took my shoes off when I went to an exercise class with a couple of the mums from my school, and one of the mums just looked down and went, oh, my God, because I had all the socks on.
Well, next time you can say you're a trendsetter. You're just following the cool trend.
She just had one of those compulsion things where she literally couldn't wear odd socks. And, and seeing me with odd socks was
oh, no.
physically doing her harm. So I took them off and did the class barefoot to stop her from being upset.
Even at the worst, like most controlling parts of my OCD, I never had trouble with matching socks, but they have to feel the same. Like,
yeah,
if,
yeah.
You know, yeah. You know how the little seam on the inside of the sock, like if that gets wound up in my toes, I can't deal with life.
That's all
at
I can
all.
Focus
like,
on.
Yeah, I've actually had to pull my car over to the side of the road before and like kick off my shoes and fix my socks, put them back on, and then start driving again.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than a sock that falls down in your shoe.
Oh, too. That's the worst. There's especially great, if you've got, there's I've got great, a lot of tall boots.
And yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got, I wear boots usually during winter. And if I've got long boots and my sock goes missing in it, it's the most horrific thing in the world. Especially if it's a lace up boot, you have to sort of, in order to fix it, you have to take the entire boot
off.
Ugh, so annoying.
Or when you live somewhere where there's snow. And the snow gets down in your shoe and wets the sock. And then the sock bunches up under your foot. Like,
yeah, that I just have to live with until I can get inside.
I get so fucking cranky. I'm like,
why do we have to wear clothes? Clothes suck.
Yeah.
They really do.
I need at least a bra, though, or I'm so uncomfortable.
I know. You get that underboob sweat.
Yeah, it's so gross.
I should get fake ones like me.
That's I was gonna it. Say, do you get under boob sweat anymore? Like,
my boobs do not touch. Like, they don't touch. There's no touching part. Oh, there's a little bit of a touching part there, but it's much, much, much. You know, there used to be a large swathe of skin sitting on the skin.
Yeah.
When I had actual boobs. Now it's a very small amount. I can't. I'm like, one of my oldest friends used to talk about the pencil test. Uh-huh. Have you heard about the pencil test?
Yes, no. But a couple different ways, so I don't know which way you're going with
so,
this.
So the idea is that if you have boobs and you can't, you can, if you have boobs, you should only, you shouldn't be able to hold a pencil underneath them.
That's where I thought you were going. I was like, geez, I haven't been able to do that in 17 years.
Like, yeah, my friend said I can fit a whole fucking pencil case under there.
Right? Like, I'm pretty sure I could put my cell phone under there, just walk around and not lose it. Like,
yeah, we need well, to I stop. Used to be able to. I used to be able to do that
because I'm really gonna like stick my something under there now. Just
I'm doing it right now. I'm trying to put a pencil there, and it no longer. I can no longer hold a pencil there. It falls. So that's... And I'm not wearing a bra. So there you go.
I don't remember what fake the boobs. Other one, the one my grandma taught me, was supposed to measure, but it was like putting a pencil down your shirt and how the pencil was supposed to be able to like fall through your shirt clearly without resistance.
No,
I don't remember what...
That woman, the girl in The Breakfast Club, she puts her lipstick on by holding it between
her boobs. Yeah, that was... I tried doing that once. It didn't go well. But for some reason, maybe it was my grandma was trying to impress some kind of like with modesty on me or something. But the idea was that if you could get the pencil to fall down your shirt without hitting your boobs or something like that, you were wearing a modest enough shirt. I don't know.
Okay, now that makes sense, because if it's clinging too much to your boobs, then you wouldn't be able to get the pencil to go down all the way. So she was wanting you to wear a looser shirt,
yes.
Basically.
Which is she didn't want me showing off my assets.
My boobs beg to differ with all the food that has ended up shooting through my shirts, and I definitely wear they're definitely clinging there.
I found a crisp in my bra last night.
Took my sometimes bra I'll be like, eating and it will drop down and I'm like, I don't know where that went. I'm looking down in my boobs. It's gone.
Yeah. And all I know is that like, I'm itchy a little bit. I'm like, oh, something itches. And then I get undressed. And I'm like, oh, look at that. There's like part of a crisp down my bra. Big boob problems. Hashtag. Are there any colors you can't stand?
I think it depends on the context, because there's a lot, like, yeah. I'm pretty okay with most colors, but a lot of colors, really, really bright colors on screens can hurt my eyes.
Yeah, I can't like, think of a color I really hate.
I don't, there's certain shades of yellow and green that put my teeth on edge, like, specifically sort of really mustardy shades of yellow and
green.
Oh
yeah, I was gonna say kind of... poopy.
But I generally like, you know, the soft greens and the pale yellows, but yeah, things that are really, really
I can see bright. That
I love
baby poop yellow,
yeah,
is what I
yeah it's not a good color. Like, nothing that color is ever nice.
Actually, I just bought a new journal that I got at like 50% off, because the only thing that I can think is wrong with it, it's a Moleskine, is that it's a really ugly acid yellow green color.
So, that makes sense.
So I'm gonna cover it with, I'm gonna like Mod Podge that shit or something, I don't know, because that's I'm like a suburban housewife in Utah now or something, I don't know.
Crafting. Any minute now you're gonna take up scrapbooking and
I used to
scrapbooking and
I used to scrapbook
scrapbooking and Valium.
I used to scrapbook, and I was on a lot of Vicodin back then.
Awesome. Maybe it's a side effect. Just one of those things.
But I got tired of not having anything to do with all the scrapbook stuff that I made, because I never put it in a book. You know, I would just make these pages and put pictures on them, and they looked really nice. And then I was like, what the fuck do I do with this? Nothing. There was nothing I could do with it. So I stopped doing that, and now I journal.
Yeah, it's funny. I went to there's a great big, well, there used to be, it's actually closed down, there, a big craft shop just up the road from us, and we used to go in there, and they have all these sections, like, and I because it was back in the days when I was trying to amuse two kids at home before they went to school, so I would go and buy like huge tubs full of cotton balls and felt things and paper and pencils, and there was a whole heap of scrapbooking stuff there as well, and it was just like, I would just look at it and go, I don't really get the... I mean, it's fun to have something to do with your hands and fun to do crafty stuff, but I didn't get why people did it. Because it's not... You're not collecting things that you've done. Like, you're not scrapbooking your own pictures, are you? You're using magazines and stuff like that to make, like, basically Pinterest pages? Is that what you're doing?
No,
you're
scrapbooking. You're making... It's, yeah, your own pictures and stuff.
Yeah, it's like making a baby... Oh, okay. Like, making a baby book.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was doing, like...
Never really been certain of what
one of Baby Bai's school years every year for a little while, or I tried, and I'd get two or three pages in, and I'm like, this is boring. My child does not have
finishing
a baby
finishing things
book.
Are so fucking hard.
Finishing things are hard. Oh my god.
I've just been beating my head against a draft of a story for the last 6 weeks or whatever, and I'm just like, I just gotta finish it. It's so bad, but I've gotta finish it, and I hate it. I hate everything about it.
I have to rewrite a whole section of the last story I wrote, and because the plot didn't end the way I wanted it to end, and I know what I want to happen, I just don't know how to get there, and the entire like third of the story has to be rewritten, and I'm putting it off so bad.
I've got that other story that I need to redo, and I'm just like, oh, I can't do it. Writing is hard.
It's hard.
It is.
And then I got to finish the second novel. Like, I'm right at the climatic final part of the second novel. Like, the main conflict is happening, and I just kind of, like, there's a little lull and things going on.
How?
And I just left them there.
When I was doing my novel, I got to the big confrontation final in a boss fight, basically.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there going, I fucking don't want to write this. I don't want to write. Maybe building up to this massive crescendo of a fight scene, and I'm just like, I would rather do anything than write what I have to write now. So I did eventually write it, but I literally did what you're doing now. I left them on this hill. Facing off with a demon.
Yeah, I mean the characters
are
fine.
6 weeks.
The characters are fine. They're naked and huddled under an emergency blanket because they got hypothermia. And it was like a legit thing that happened in the plot too. It wasn't even like contrived. But I get to the climatic portion and I feel like everything I put on the page is terrible. I'm like, oh my god, that's so stupid. That's so cliche. No one's gonna read this crap. And then people read through it later, they're like, wow, you build tension so well. I'm like, probably because I was tense the entire 2 weeks it took me to write those 4 pages.
Oh, man.
All right, so we've got another question, or we've got a Fuck, Marry, Kill edition. What do you want?
Well, we haven't done Fuck, Marry, Kill for ages.
Fuck, Marry, Kill for ages. We may have time for the other question. We don't know. Fuck, Marry, Kill Mass Effect Edition.
Ooh.
Sent to us by Closeted in Canada.
Thank you, Closeted in
Canada.
Yeah,
thank you. We haven't had a,
we all know.
We haven't had a good one of these in a while.
All
right. Yeah. Let's start with Claire.
Know who I'm going to marry.
We're going to start with Claire. I know
okay.
who she's going to marry.
Yep. Mary Garris.
Yep.
Fuck. Oh god, there's so many. Samara. And kill Caden, because that's what I always do anyways.
Caden's already dead in my Fuck, Marry, Kill universe. He never existed. I'll marry Garrus as well, thanks. We have to marry Garrus. Who would not marry Garrus?
The only way I would not marry Garrus is if I was instead marrying... Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I guess
if I was instead marrying Vetra, because I love her. My big spiky girlfriend.
Ah, Vetra. I haven't done enough...
Yeah.
I haven't done enough Mass Effect.
That's why I didn't mention any of them, because I was like, you guys won't know.
But yeah, I'm marrying Garrus. I'm fucking Miranda. Who do I want to kill? I mean, as I said, Caden's already dead. That's done. I mean, I'd say, no, I don't really want to kill him. Who do I want to kill?
I mean, if I can't kill Caden because I already killed him a million years ago, I would go Jarvik because he's gonna die anyways.
What?
I love Jarvik,
but he's like, by the end, he's like, okay, we'll kill the Reapers, and then I'm just gonna go, like, I don't know, kill myself or something. That's the vibe he gave me.
Huh. He did. I think if you unlock enough conversations with him, he doesn't. But yes,
I've done conversations with him.
My friend Kirsty is going to kill me, but I'd kill Zaid because he's a bit of a.
Oh yeah, I'd kill Zaid.
I could kill Zaid because I've never played the game with him. I've never gotten a Mass Effect DLC other than the one that fixed the ending of 3.
Oh yeah, so you never met Kasumi.
Quote unquote,
Kasumi's magnificent.
Fixed. Yeah, no, I never had the grumpy old man or the secret shadow keeper lady, and I didn't do the Citadel DLC or anything like that.
Oh, that's the only reason to play the game now is to play Citadel. Citadel is so good. Like, I literally don't play Beyond Citadel anymore. That's the end of the game as far as I'm concerned. That's where Mass Effect ends. There's nothing after that. That's, we have a nice party at my flat.
Occasionally
and
I'll play
gets drunk
because I like the little goodbye speeches on London. And then I'll play Citadel afterwards and just pretend like that was all a bad dream or something.
Yeah,
but it's okay. Yeah, like yeah, I'm the only person on the planet that liked Mass Effect 3. So,
oh, I liked the game.
Well,
I just hated
it.
The ending.
Oh no, I liked all of it. Beginning with, to beginning.
Oh,
to
I know
end.
You did. It did not fit thematically with the rest of the series.
I did. I actually enjoyed the ending, but I'm happy enough to pretend it didn't happen as well.
See, I thought I thought it fit thematically with the progression that my shepherd went through. Like it just fit, like the whole thing.
Yeah, but I'm saying like the style of the games was very action against all odds winning kind of thing, because that's how you kind of did in both 1 and 2. It was like the little guys teaming up, power of friendship, blah blah blah, and then suddenly 3 it's like nope, and then no matter what you do you lose. Oh, and I didn't like.
No, no matter what,
I didn't. My main quibble with it was just that it literally ignores every single thing you did before that and just makes it those 3 choices.
Yeah, I do not like the fact that like it gives you these
like you
ideas.
Could have done literally nothing and then you just get to the end and it's like
weird
because
like
3.
it just felt like everything just flowed for me. I don't know. I felt like the story progression flowed for my character through all 3 games.
Yeah.
I
mean,
felt satisfied and completed at the end. Except Miranda died.
Like
in your arms.
I do wonder
in my
I mean,
arms.
I don't mean this in a like I don't mean this in a not a real fan kind of way. I just wonder if it flows differently for people who played them all, cuz you played them all pretty close together, right? Like it was pretty much right when 3 came out, whereas I didn't
back to back
for years.
I think that too, that what someone pointed out when the ending first came around was that it's not so much that people hated the ending, more that they just hated that it ended. And I can actually understand that that feeling as well. I mean, I get too that a lot of people are like, well, my shepherd always wins, and that should have, there should have been a way to win. Where, I mean, there really should have been a way to win.
I mean, I didn't mind that it ended. I just wanted, I mean, like, one, I wanted it to end, actually, and it would have made more sense, because then, like, all it would have had to be is, based on how you prepare and all your choices, you either don't beat the Reapers or you have varying levels of success beating the Reapers. And then it would have taken into account everything you did, and it would have made sense.
I think, for me, I find bittersweet endings really satisfying.
Yeah,
so
but I mean,
I felt,
no matter what you did, it would have been bittersweet. Like, Shepard
well, that's
might
what,
have died.
That's
there was
what I'm
always
going
to be losses. I'm just saying, it didn't, like, I don't like, here's 3 choices that don't connect to anything.
Oh, that's what I'm saying for me. Like, I felt like the ending was bittersweet in a very satisfying way to me. Like, because the Reapers were beaten, and Shepard died. Oh, well. Shepherd gave their life. I mean, it just felt like an appropriate end.
I actually did like that. That's the thing. I would have liked it to end. The last
yeah. When you're talking to Anderson, I would have.
Yes,
I actually
would
have
liked it to end.
Yeah, see, that's what I wanted the ending to be, though. Is
yeah,
you
and
do
that,
that
she got
and
up
then
and went up, so it's like
maybe Shepherd. Yeah, Shepherd died, and then your success after that is based on all your choices. Going
yeah,
on
and
after that and making 3 choices that didn't connect to anything is what bothered me. Like, I would have had no problem
yeah,
if it
I
was
didn't.
You die by Anderson and then It
felt like an ending there. That last scene with Anderson feels like an ending, and it feels like a really satisfying ending too, because you're there with the person who was with you at the beginning. He gives you he basically calls you his daughter. Yeah. It's just really beautiful, and it needed to stop there.
And then I think it should have just been then, based on what you had done before that, everyone else would have had varying levels of success or whatever.
And I actually did. I wouldn't mind if the death was absolutely
final.
Like, you didn't have.
Oh yeah, like I wouldn't have had a problem with that. I had a problem with the you get taken away from everything you know and everyone you know, and talk to some stupid kid and get three choices that didn't have anything to do with anything.
See, it's so weird. I wonder why I feel differently. That I didn't feel like the three choices weren't connected. They felt right to me. I don't know.
I hated them. I hated them because of the implications were that.
Well, two of the three choices were straight up what the villains had been telling you to do in one and then in two.
Yeah.
Like,
and the third choice was just
synthesis
bizarre.
Was Saren, and then control was the elusive man, and then destroy is what you'd been trying to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked it. Hmm.
I mean, I'm not even saying that they didn't connect thematically. Like, you can make them connect thematically. I'm saying they had, like, your choices before that had literally no effect on it.
Yeah, it didn't matter what you
did. It didn't matter what you did.
You still got
like,
the three
you
choices,
had made all these choices, and especially in the third game, where it's like, you could cure the Genophage, you could make peace between the Quarians and Geth, and then you get to these choices that have nothing to do with that.
Oh, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, I felt like everything fit together in my Shepherd story. Like, it didn't feel disjointed or out of place to me or anything like that. It just, narratively, I found it satisfying. And I know that, like, I'm the only person on the planet that feels that way. So, it's okay. It's
pretty
okay.
Much, yeah. But yeah.
I was saying, I wonder if it's more of a, like, if you hadn't been playing as much kind of thing. Which isn't to say, like, you're not a real fan of it or whatever.
No, it's okay, you can call me a not real Mass Effect fan.
Because you would have been experiencing the story differently, I think, than people that had been playing for
can I do my
fuck, marry, kill?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's see, I would probably fuck James Vega because
oh, I forgot about fucking James Vega.
Like,
damn it,
like, have you seen that? I would marry Miranda because Miranda has my heart forever and always. And kill, what's that annoying green guy I hate? The one that everybody lost their shit over because he died, but surprise, we knew he was going to die anyway.
Warden?
The guy with the
Thane. Oh, Thane!
Yeah, fuck that guy.
No, here's my fun anecdote. Me and Travis, for whatever goddamn reason, since he, at one point, I don't know why this is what we clung to, he says, I'm dying, Shepherd. And then anytime either of us are sick or anything, we'll be like, I'm dying, Shepherd. So that's my only connection to Thane, is that.
Do you do it with like weird, freaky, stupid, shitty, flashy, trippy flashbacks? Like, do you like go over to the light switch and turn them on and off and make like stupid sounds? And,
see, the thing is how that was the guy that they were like, they designed to be the hot alien. Whereas I always found him kind of unsettling because his face like looks like a mask or something.
Yeah, I don't like him at all. Like this is the thing that's going to get us the hate mail, guys. Like,
I know.
Nothing else we've said in 33 episodes has elicited a bad reaction. But Brandon said she fucking hates Thane and wants him to die.
Yeah. Like, can I just, I'll just agree with you though, because I hate him too.
I don't hate him. I aggressively don't care about him. Like, he's the only one.
Yeah.
I think he's the only one in all of two I didn't consider romance.
I collected him in two, like you're supposed to, and then I sat him down in Air Supply and left him there, and I even forgot he was there. And then before we went through, I was like, fuck, I gotta do this son of a bitch's stupid loyalty mission so that Miranda doesn't die.
I don't think I've ever taken him out other than for his loyalty mission.
Oh, I just don't like him.
I never did.
And I just remember everybody losing their shit over it when 3 happened, and they're like, oh my god, Thane died! And I'm like,
Yeah.
He had a terminal illness. We knew he was going to die.
Yeah, I can understand being shitty about Jacob because that was kind of shitty, but like...
That was shitty.
It was very shitty.
It was shitty as hell.
But Thane just like... He had a terminal illness from the moment you met him.
We fucking knew he was going to die.
Like, I was surprised he made it to three.
He got to go out. I know, he got to go out heroically instead of, like, wasting away.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, so.
I mean, I know Claire might jump down my throat for this, but it's the whole idea that everyone deserves a happy ending. So if I romance Thane,
I don't think everyone necessarily just, I like a happy ending, but I'd like it to make sense. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
that makes sense. Yeah,
Like, how would he have lived? There's no way they could have done it that would have been satisfying and plausible.
Are you ready? I'm really going to drag the hate in too. Like, I feel like the people who were really upset that Thane died are the people who are like, how come everybody hates Loghain? It's like the people that fucking romance Loghain with their city elves. Like, what the fuck, guys? So bring it in. Come at me.
There does seem to be a fairly large overlap in the Venn diagram there. I don't get the Loghain love. Yeah, I mean, he's got a nice voice. But,
yeah, he's got a nice voice, but whatever. He's a horrible person.
I mean, whatever. He's also a Quarian in Mass Effect, so go and join him there. Whatever.
isn't he Khal Rigar in Mass Effect?
No, he's one of the admirals. Council guys.
Admirals.
Or, yeah, the admirals.
There's someone... There's
I
someone
forgot
else I would
Khal Rigar in my fuck, marry,
yeah,
kill.
Yeah. Oh
my god.
There is my I'm angry this person died.
Right?
Yeah. It's fucking Khal Rigar, man. I love Khal Rigar.
He didn't die. He's fine.
He deserved to live.
I also got mad about Kirahi because Kirahi dies as well, doesn't he? Hold the line.
Who?
No, he can survive because you see him in... I think it depends on your choices, but yeah, you run into him in one of the planets.
I don't know.
If you do a non-import save into Mass Effect 2, he automatically dies no matter what you pick, which really annoys me, and I don't want him to die because I like Kirahi. But Khal Rigar, fucking awesome dude. Love
forgot
that
about him.
I love Khal Rigar.
So good.
Yeah, you know, James Vega seems a little young. Maybe I should fuck Khal Rigar instead. I don't know.
Connect suits.
He does seem really young, doesn't he? It's funny, James Vega.
But I love him. I love him.
So do I. He's great. And Freddie Prinze Jr. every time. You still haven't romanced Bull, have you, Brandon?
Yeah, no. You want hate mail. I don't like Bull.
You want hate mail?
I'm not a fan.
I don't like the Canary.
Yeah,
bring it, guys. Fuck the Canary. I hate them. Okay. Anyway, if you want to yell at me for... What?
I was going to say, I think we might have to wrap it up.
I was leading naturally into that. I was like, if you want to yell at me for hating on Loghain or Thane or the Canary in general, especially Iron Bull, you can send all of your hate mail to bibibicast@gmail.com.
Yeah, please send it there and not byebyebyecast.tumblr.com, where I will be the one seeing it and I'll get sad, even though I think we're right.
I mean, shit, you can at me on the Twitter, too. Bye, podcast.
Yeah, I just don't need it, Philip. Oh, no, I'll get sad because I'll be like, oh, we got email, and then it will be that, and I'll be...
Yeah.
So, yeah, send us, if you don't want to hear us hate on your faves, send us questions and ask for advice.
Or, alternatively, send us your hate of our faves.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, come at me with Anders, like I haven't heard any of it.
We will see you all next time, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. Check out the Patreon if you have time. Check out Claire's Redbubble if you want merch.
You can all find them on
the
We
love Tumblr. You. Yep. Bye bye bye.
Bye bye bye.
Bye bye bye.